everybody. Welcome to the Good Evening Kitties podcast, a Tales from the Crypt review. My name is Melissa, your ghostess with the mostest, and I'm here to talk about Tales from the Crypt Season 2, Episode 6, The Thing from the Grave. Today, I have Mike back as another special guest.
Hello.
Mike, thanks for being on.
It was a pleasure.
We just got done watching the episode, and it was a pretty simple, straightforward episode, so...
No frills here.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and get started in with it here. Before we do, let me talk a little bit about the episode. Okay, The Thing from the Grave. It aired May 8th, 1990, and the description on it says, "A jilted Romeo murders his sweetie suitors, but maybe there is such a thing as a love that cannot die." As always, John Cassier is the voice as the Crypt Keeper, and Danny Elfman does the theme song. This episode was directed by Fred Decker. He also directed RoboCop 3 and Night of the Creeps. It stars Terry Hatcher, that most people know from Desperate Housewives. Kyle Secor, who is from movies like The Purge, Election Year, and City Slickers. And Miguel Ferrer,
I think.
Yeah, Ferrer.
The late, great Miguel.
Yes, he was from X-Files and TV's both sets of the Twin Peaks series.
Yes, the old and the new.
The screenplay was also written by Fred Decker. So we'll go ahead here and get into the episode. Okay, so this one has kind of a fun little intro. It's the Crypt Keeper, and he's checking out a Play Dead magazine.
He pretends to be surprised that the viewer has caught him watching this.
Oops! Looks like you caught the old Crypt Keeper checking out one of his ghoulie magazines.
he's being naughty by himself.
He probably wants us to know.
And it's got like a emaciated dead lady on on the cover, and he's checking it out. It's kind of funny, and so he's talking about how this episode's about a pretty girl and. And, I don't know, I always like how they do the crypt. I like how the little touches and stuff, it's really neat. They always got, like, the water shimmering and stuff, like he's...
And all the candles.
Just, like, real gross.
And all the dust. Everything looks like it's just caked with dust.
Yeah. So we get into the episode here, and it starts out, there's a guy driving down a road that... There's a sign that says, not a county-managed road, so it's pretty abandoned.
Maintained.
Maintained.
Your tax dollars are not going to upkeep this.
Yeah, they're just saying if you get lost here, you're kind of screwed. So this guy's driving down the road and he's got a map and he's trying to find this place. He's in a kind of a nice car. I think it's like a convertible or something. He's coming up the dirt road and he just about hits this guy right in front of a house that's kind of lit up. It's like a cabin.
Looks like Robert Stack in the background.
He's got like the
trench coat.
And it's Miguel Ferrer. He's playing a guy named Mitch. And he's out there in the coat, and they're basically arguing about this woman. You don't really know her name yet, but Mitch pulls out a gun, and he's basically saying, you need to stay away from a woman.
She's mine.
Yeah. And
here's one in the shoulder.
Yeah, he shoots her in the
shoulder. Here's another one
in
the shoulder. Yeah. The other shoulder.
Shoots him in both shoulders, and he takes off running.
I don't know why I'm giving a gravelly voice, because... Miguel does not do that at all. Maybe.
So he takes off running, and I kind of kept an eye on this to see if he was moving his arms much, and he really isn't, so it's... Because at first I was like, if he's going to be jogging, I'm going to be mad, because he's got shot.
Well, just shot in both shoulders.
Yeah, so he runs, and he falls right into, like, someone has dug a grave, which, I mean, it was Mitch. He dug a grave that's pretty deep. It's a good-sized grave. He's been busy, and there's a shovel sitting next to it.
Did it himself. It's a good 6-8 feet, maybe.
Yeah, it's already ready for him, which I thought was kind of fun. So he's kind of like, Mitch is there, and he's kind of apologizing that there's no headstone, and also he says some fun
and
stuff.
And then they
here.
Get biblical
yeah, they
for
get
a second.
Yeah, a little
second.
Biblical. It's
like,
fun.
Dude, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife.
And he's basically like, you need to stay away from my wife. And he's like, well, you're not even married yet. And he's like,
oh,
we will. They're not even married yet. They're engaged.
And then, of course, the other guy's like, well, what about thou shalt not kill? And then Miguel's just like, Mitch is just like, fuck it. Yeah, bang. And into the grave he goes.
Into the grave. And then he goes, I want you to remember one thing before you go to hell. You miserable piece of shit.
She's mine.
What happened to thou shalt not kill?
Fuck it. I want you to remember one thing before you go to hell, you miserable piece of shit. Remember, she's mine.
Not yours.
It's mine.
And then it just segues into what we're... You can kind of extrapolate that this is obviously a flashback that's now taking place because we have a close-up on the object of both men's desire.
That wasn't very apparent to me. I was like, this doesn't seem like a flashback, but all right.
The episode doesn't spoon-feed you.
Yeah,
it
really
just gives everything to you.
But, because the guy that he shot in the beginning really doesn't look super descriptive. I mean, he's just a dorky kind of guy with glasses. He really didn't...
You can tell it's the same guy, though.
I guess.
You can definitely tell it's the same guy.
So it opens up, and there's a photo shoot going on, and Terry Hatcher's got the wind blowing in her hair, and she's got this leather zip-up swimsuit.
Just like Baywatch.
Yeah, very Baywatchy, and the guy from earlier who was killed is taking pictures of her, and there's some people watching, and they're doing a whole shoot and everything, and lots of bikini models and some Japanese businessmen that are...
For some reason.
Well, they're helping to fund it, I think, or something like that. Yeah.
And they got some dumb guy in a suit posing with the bikini models because apparently he's big in Japan.
Yes. She's got... Is that loaded? Like a loaded harpoon gun thing that she has?
It
or is that fake?
It doesn't look legit to me.
Yeah, they look a little
dangerous.
I don't
know. Maybe it is. Maybe that is a harpoon gun.
Yeah, the models are holding harpoon guns.
And they're not holding them... Like, they're just kind of like holding them loosely like... Harpoons.
And so Mitch is there for some reason, and he's kind of being a jerk, and he's smoking, and he's got his glasses on inside for some reason because he wants to look cool. And he's basically one of those boyfriends or fiancés that's all up in his lady's business and to make
he's
it uncomfortable.
So hard, guys.
Well, because he says he's her manager, but he's also her fiancé. And he makes that known, but it's like one of those guys that, like, it's gonna ruin her career.
Like, he introduces himself by just walking into the middle of the shoot and talking directly to her while they're trying to take pictures. So, that's right off the bat, kind of shows you what kind of guy he is.
Like, she's working right now, you
Although
know?
We've already seen him shoot him, so I guess, whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, like, she's working right now, and he's all, I can't stand that stuff. So, he even goes back over to the photographer. Did you catch that guy's name?
The photographer?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe they'll say it later. And so he's because I didn't catch
We're awful.
I know her name is Stacy, and then her fiance's name is Mitch, but I didn't catch what his name, the photographer guy's name was.
He doesn't matter.
So basically Mitch is like making everyone uncomfortable by commenting that Stacy looks super hot.
God, she's hot, isn't she?
And who might you be, by the way?
Mitch Bruckner. I'm Stacy's manager.
Uh-huh.
I'm also her fiance.
And mention it to the photographer, like I don't know, like kind of edging him on, like I guess hoping he'll say something.
Yeah, it's the old, like,
yeah.
Don't you think my girlfriend's hot? And then if you agree, what do you mean you think she's hot?
Yeah, it's like you don't want her to be hot, and then it's, you know, if you say anything, he's like, yeah, I saw you looking at her. It's like, you're the one who's bringing the attention to it. I don't know what you're talking about. But so basically the photographer guy tells Mitch to maybe take a break and go out for a little bit and
Get some coffee. Which is a polite way to say, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, and he's kind of making... He says he's making Stacy nervous, and Mitch is like, no,
you're making him nervous.
You're
the bad. You're the man. You're the guy. You're the bad guy.
Yeah, so it's kind of got this whole photo scene thing. And so basically later, after the photo shoot, the photographer guy... I got to catch his name somewhere. And maybe he don't have a name. And...
He has a name. We're just awful because we didn't research this episode enough, obviously.
I'll just call him Photographer Guy.
Photographer Guy.
And so...
That is his name.
It's fine.
It shall be agreed.
I'm sure they'll say it eventually.
So, one thing that I kind of wonder about... I mean, you know, Mitch is an asshole. But the photographer, right off the bat, says, well, that's a swell boyfriend you got there. And right off the bat, kind of, sort of starts macking on her.
Not really. I don't know.
It's borderline because
part of it's...
I know what they were going for. I know that he's supposed to be the protagonist, that he's supposed to be, we're supposed to see things from his perspective, but at the same time, he kind of uses this discord between the two of them as an avenue to, well, I got a place, you know, and, if he's being an asshole to you, then you can come over and stay at my place.
But it's also kind of like, part of me thinks maybe they already had something going on a little, the way that it kind of... But then part of me is also like, I think he was also trying to be nice. He tells her, like, hey, you know, he seems, your fiance seems a little aggressive. I mean, I don't know if he ever has hit you before, but if you ever feel like you're being threatened or something, here's the key, like, to my studio. There's an extra bed if you want to use it, and a TV and some food.
But we all know where that is going.
I know, but I mean, like, he was being kind of sincere about it. He could tell that, like, if Mitch was that escalated, then there's a good chance he probably has hit Stacy before. Later, I guess it's that same night or a couple nights later, Stacy takes him up on it. And shows up. He's like half asleep, eating dinner.
With some Bass Ale, which is interesting product placement.
I don't even know if I didn't even catch it. I don't even know if it'd be.
It's an English beer.
Have you ever had it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it pretty good?
It's all right.
Is it hoppy or?
It's more of just a malty kind of like standard English ale. Mm. Not very hoppy at all. But yeah, she's taking him up on it.
Yeah,
and she comes over, and
he's half asleep, and she comes over.
But here's where I think that the guy is kind of suspect himself, because right when she comes through the door, he kind of pushes this button, and then the wall all lights up with like this romantic tropical sunset kind of vista.
Well, yeah,
your motives are a little less than noble if this is the way you're going about
it. But see, I'm pretty sure they're in the same room they were in earlier. Like when he says a studio, that's the same room they were just in, because that's the same backdrop.
But why would he turn it on?
Because he was trying to be cute, I guess. Uh-huh. I don't know. So he came over, he steps on the red button, and it lights up this like Caribbean background that's lit up on the back, and so they kind of meet, and you just see like their silhouettes.
I mean, Mitch is a straight up abuser, but this is, I don't know, this is, it seems like he's taking advantage of her.
Well, that's, no, because she's into it. She's into it, though.
Oh, well.
Because see, like, he's like, I guess I was being forward, and she's like, I guess I was being forward by accepting the offer. And then they just kind of are like, well,
as long as we're being
let's
forward.
Just be forward and kiss. And so then they do, and I was like, oh, that's pretty
good. Of course,
quick.
Maybe I'm reading too much into it. It is, after all, late night HBO.
Yeah. Well, and this episode's, what, 27 minutes long or something, so...
Yeah. It felt even shorter than that. The episode felt like it was 10 minutes long.
This one really
It really goes by quick.
This one doesn't have a whole lot of
plot
in it.
It's pretty straightforward. Like, the Crypt Keeper said, he told us right off the bat that it makes no bones about what it is, this one, so...
Well, and even the title, The Thing from the Grave, it's like, okay, I got what's going on.
No, that could be anything, though.
Something's coming out of a grave. So basically he says he has something to give her, and he pulls out this, what he says is a Mayan necklace that was given to him by an old blind lady.
Oh boy.
The Mayan god of truth, and of course it's Mayan.
The Mayan god of truth. Is that, you see, I want to look into see if that's even a thing.
And it says like, no matter what, if you like make a promise and hold the necklace, you have to keep the promise. And he, you know, so she's like, oh my god. And then like she puts it on.
And then you see, you know, the bruises on her clavicle.
Yeah. So Mitch has been hitting her. And so she's acting like, oh, I'm so done with him. I have to leave him. It's over. But it's like, girl, it's not over.
Look, it's over with him, okay? I had some hard times and he was there. I guess that's why I stayed so long. I owe him.
Wait a minute. Don't you think that you're paid up, Stace? Come on, this asshole has been using you.
I know.
Okay. Well, if you know that, then why don't you tell him?
I'm afraid. I don't know what he'll do.
It's never over.
I can tell the way she's acting, because this guy's crazy. You can't just... When you're with some guy that crazy and you just tell him it's over, it's not over. You gotta either get a restraining order or something, because he's not gonna quit. And she's not really technically pushing him away, as we see later.
No.
They're talking fine.
No.
So she's afraid. She doesn't know what Mitch is gonna do. And photography guy is like, you don't have to be afraid, because I'm here. And I...
And then, of course, cue make-out scene.
Well, but he's holding the necklace when he says that. He's like, I'll protect you. I'll be here. And then you're like, oh, snap, Mayan god of truth. Like, that's going to come back later. And so, yeah, so then they make out and probably more things. And,
Chekhov's gift shop necklace.
Yes, this old blind lady. While they're making out, you can see that Mitch is in the car outside with his faithful dog companion. And they're taping them making out through the window. So he's been spying on her. He knows exactly what's going down, and he's got those murder gloves on that only people who murder.
I know, these are the gloves you wear when you strangle people.
Yeah.
And if you do not want to leave fingerprints anywhere.
And this part kind of made me laugh, because, okay, so later, his name's Devlon. Okay, sure.
Devlon. Are you sure it's not Devon?
No, it said Devlon Cates.
Oh, Devlon. That's interesting.
Yeah,
to any Devlons out there, I don't mean any offense.
Yeah. Photography guy
is
fine.
Maybe I do. You got a weird name.
I'll just call him PG. Photography guy. So, Devlon. is coming home, like, to get the answer machine message, because this is 1990, and he's got a bag of groceries, and this is always my favorite, how there's always, a, like, a lone baguette hanging out of the top of the, like, bag of groceries.
Like, there's always that baguette.
So many people eat so many baguettes, apparently. I rarely buy a baguette.
Well, the baguette, you see, if he's walking to and from, this is in case he gets mugged, he can defend himself.
I guess. I mean, they're tasty, but yeah, after 2 days, you can beat someone to death with them if you don't use them. But, yeah, so he shows up, picks up, and it's Mitch. And he's basically saying, like, hey, me and Stacy had a fight.
Look, I know everything, all right? Don't ask me how. It's not important. What is important is that she's in trouble.
What kind of trouble?
Shut up, okay? We had a fight. She went to our cabin. Look, she doesn't want to see my face. She won't accept my help. But maybe she'll listen to you.
But he's just like, Stacy's in trouble and I need you to help
me. You know, this is not about me at all. You just got to come over for her, man. I mean, she won't talk to me, man. But you...
He's like, she's at her cabin. If you show up, maybe she'll listen to you. And basically, this is setting up what was in the beginning.
Yeah.
So, he's back on the road again like he was in the beginning. He shows up, you know, gets shot, killed, all that stuff. So, that's basically what happened to get him to that point.
And you do see a few extra things. Mitch grinning, you know, impishly as he, you know, paddles the dirt on top of our hero. And,
yeah, he's pretty excited about it.
Shoveling him in.
I'm really kind of surprised he could keep in his excitement for as long as he did, because it cuts to, like, 6 days later, and Stacy hasn't heard back from Devlon. And she, you know, and then for some reason, I don't know, this part irritates me, because Mitch is hanging out with her the whole time, and he's apologizing and saying, I'm so sorry for how I've been.
I know that things haven't been too good between us for a long time. I've been stupid, and I've done a lot of bad things. Sometimes I get frustrated and I don't have the words and I use other things, and that's wrong. I know that. I also know that whatever we had is probably gone or changed anyway. And it's my fault.
But meanwhile, like, still throwing in things like, if Devlon really cared about you, how come he hasn't called you in 6 days?
It's grade A manipulation, a combination of manipulation and justification of his own behavior.
Yeah, and it's like she's, you know, she's trying not to be too worried, I guess, because she doesn't want to seem like she's in love with him or something, because she's still kind of afraid of Mitch. But she's, you know, nervous and smoking a cigarette and, you know, pacing. And it's been, yeah, it's been about 6 days. And so then Mitch is being a jerk by, like, kind of being like, I don't know, you think he's a corpse somewhere? Or you think something happened to him?
Or maybe something did happen to him. I mean, I don't know. I'm
Would
just saying.
Would be a shame if somehow he was shot and buried. You know, like, I don't know. He's, yeah, so it's him just talking through all this and, like, making her feel
and
crap.
Sipping on a scotch as he you know, circles her like a shark.
And this is her house, though, and he's like making himself at home. I know they were dating, but he's doing the classic manipulation thing of, like, I know things haven't been good and I would understand if you didn't want to be with me, but I love you.
And I don't know how I get emotional, and I don't know how to deal with feelings, which is why I hurt you. Yes. Basically, it's not, he doesn't say that, but this is the subtext to all of this.
Yeah, and it's like, girl, just run away. She's so pretty. Just run. She's fine. She don't need no man. She is a strong, pretty model lady with a picture of herself in her apartment.
Narcissist.
She's a model.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, she gets the idea to go over back to Devlon's studio because she hasn't heard anything, and to check on how he's doing. So she shows up at Devlon's apartment. And she goes in there, and that bag of groceries is sitting there. And so that's going to tell it right away.
Yeah.
Usually you put your groceries up. And part of me, like I told you earlier, was hoping that baguette was going to be so hard she could just start beating stuff with it. Or, like, even beat Mitch with it. Like, that would have been great if she would just started using it as a weapon. But she shows up, and, yeah, so everything looks, like, you know, plain. Like, but the bag of groceries is very telltale. So she goes over and takes a look at it. And she goes to grab this carton of ice cream, and it just goes bleh, and, like, explodes.
It splorts.
Yeah.
It's like Papa Nurgle flavored ice cream.
The lid pops off.
She doesn't even, like, pick it up. She just moves. She tries to pick it up, and the lid pops off, and it's, like, a three-quarters gone, and it goes,
Bleh!
And
so
it's like,
she...
I don't know why I find the ice cream.
It's funny,
the ice cream is central to the plot, man. It's really... You know, that could have been a thing.
It was funny. And so then she
Where'd
goes
the ice
over
cream go?
To this huge Panasonic answering machine. Yeah, and she sees that there's a message on there. And she hears part of the message, I guess, that Mitch was leaving. Or, like, threatening and stuff. And so she's... All of a sudden, she turns around and there's Mitch. And he's got the scary gloves on.
Yeah.
And he's grabbing
her. He has his murder gloves.
Yeah, his murder gloves are on. And he's got a hold of her. And he's, like, I guess going to choke her out. I don't know. And so he's fighting her.
And they're flailing around.
And then next thing you know, they're at the cabin. So he basically kidnapped her. He ties her to the bed at the cabin. There's a nice cheery fire there. And he's got her down to, like, her corset shirt and underwear. And she's tied down. And he basically admits to the fact that Devlon's not going to come save you because I buried him outside.
Well, it's because I buried him in the woods outside. That's why. No! Yep, he's dead. And he's buried. And he's rotting in the fucking ground right now.
And so she's screaming, help, help, help. That's where it kind of cuts to the grave there, and then you see this hand. That shovel's been sitting in that dirt for like a week. And
he just left the shovel there, man. Yeah. That's not good.
And this hand comes shooting out of the grave, and you're like, oh, here comes the title.
And the hand bursts up through the ground.
And what I thought was weird, too, is, I don't know. I mean, yeah, worms are really busy in the ground. But it has only been a week, and he is rotted.
Maybe it's a sandy ground. Maybe he's just desiccated. I don't know.
But I know he hasn't been, like, preserved or anything, but, like, he's really rotted for, like, a week.
You know why, Melissa? Because in the Tales from the Crypt universe, things rot much more quickly.
I mean,
these look more
the
badass
great.
And monstrous. Oh, yeah. It's got, like, the tendons in the face and the bits of cartilage that remain between the rictus grin, which is awesome.
It's great.
So it's good to see that. But
he gets up, and, you know, he's coming to save her.
And it should be said that Mitch says, well, I'm going to kill you, but no reason I can't have a little bit of fun, you know,
he's
before I do that.
He's definitely a jerk.
So, yeah.
So he hears some noises outside, and so he grabs his gun to go take a look. Mitch does. And when he opens the door, he sees that it's Devlon. And he's really not super shocked that there's a walking dead.
Yeah, this is something that I've noticed in a lot of Evil Dead, Tales from the Crypt episodes, is whenever, especially when the villain is confronted with, be it a zombie, a spirit, anything like that, the reaction is usually, I thought I killed you. It's not, oh my god, such things exist, I'm trying to come to terms with it now. Like, you know, you'd expect a lot of people to do.
He was just more like
it's just
irritated
like this,
that
even freeze framed on his look, and he's just arching his eyebrows and looking like, what? But I killed you.
I killed you, god damn it! I fucking killed you!
But there's a good scene there when Devlon's right in front of him because he's got, like, worms coming out of his eye sockets and maggots and stuff. So it's pretty cool, like, the scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he takes it and he shoots him in the head.
Well, Devlon grabs him by the neck, and even then he just puts the gun in Devlon's face and starts plinking away. Like, it's almost like, dude, have you dealt with zombies before? I don't know.
That's true. It was like a headshot, didn't it?
Yeah, like... Are you down with the undead? You've had dealings with them in the past?
But he's more just mad. He's like,
yeah,
oh,
he's just
I
mad.
Killed you, and he's running away from them.
That's the great thing. He's not really afraid. He's
and
mad.
And now you see that, like, that zombie Devlon has dug a little hole for him.
Yeah.
Not as deep,
no,
but it's still a little, you know, he's dead. He's got so much to work with. He dug a quick little hole, and so he comes down and he stabs onto Mitch's fingers.
He chops
gross.
Off his fingers with a shovel.
Chops off like all four, and it's all like bleeding everywhere. And so then in the meantime, Stacy is getting out of the bed. She's untying the knots and throwing her clothes on.
Yeah, you can tell that bad guy Mitch never was part of the Boy Scouts because those knots, you know, came up.
But here's one of the best parts. So, Zombie Devlon
this is ridiculous.
takes Mitch's bloody hand, so he's got like a thumb and no fingers.
The squibs are going off and the blood is splurting out of all the severed digits.
And there's a big rock next to their grave, and so the whole time he's taking his hand and moving it so that it spells out, she's mine, in Mitch's finger blood.
For a second I thought that Mitch himself was doing that, and I'm just like, you know, he's kind of a badass. He might be a scumass.
As he's dying, she's still mine.
You know.
No, so basically Devlon's like, no, she's mine, and he's in the hole with Mitch, and he's burying them together. He's kind of like throwing the dirt all down,
taking you with me.
Yeah,
which helps, of course. The what I was expecting was, because I've seen this a long time ago, but of course you forget if you've only seen somebody once. What is it gonna do after he's done away with Mitch? Is he going to expect her again? And it's gonna be like, you're coming with me, sweetie. But no, he just buries them all together, which I suppose was the promise from that, like, gift store trinket or whatever.
Well, yeah, and that's where, like, she's outside and she hears the screaming, and she goes along with it, too. She kind of grabs a necklace, like, well, he did say he'd be with me forever, and it's like, there's still a zombie dude walking around trying to save you. And like I was saying to you earlier, like, he got lucky the fact that he was only right outside.
Yeah, like, everything was right there.
If
he was only buried, Devlon, like, 50 yards away.
Yeah, if Devlon was supposed to protect her for whatever reason because of that necklace, like, what if he was, like, the next state over, and she's like, oh my god, I need help. And then, I also wonder, and then he would have to, like, walk, you know, try to hitchhike along the state lines.
It's the power of love, Melissa.
And the Mayan Devlon, god of truth.
Devlon would have found a way. He would have been rotting flesh walking along, you know, a Nevada highway somewhere to get to his beloved.
But what I also wonder is, will he continue to protect her, or is this the only time?
Yeah, it's a good... It's implied that this is a one-off kind of thing.
Can she never love again? Is he going to be, like, after... Is it just because Mitch is a jerk? But so basically, Devlon takes Mitch down with him. At least I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it looks like...
Yeah, Devlon is just, like, with his hands scooping dirt all over... You know, Mitch.
Mitch is like, I'm not dead, stop it. So that's basically how it ends. It shoots to a picture of Stacy, her picture in her apartment, and that's basically it. So
yep.
I'm assuming that Deck takes Mitch with him, and they just, he suffocates him.
Yeah, we're supposed to assume that it's over and done with, that we won't have Zombie Devlon coming back for any favors.
And Stacy just goes on to live happily ever after, knowing that Mayan God of Truth necklace is real.
So. After that, I wouldn't be surprised if she has troubles, you know, with relationships. It's like, okay, so what was your last date like? Well, my new boyfriend buried my other boyfriend alive. Oh, he was a zombie, by the way. And my other boyfriend killed the other one. And he's just like, why do I blind date anymore? It's not worth it.
After this, she pulls like a Titanic and goes and drops the Mayan God of Truth necklace off the side of a boat.
I would.
She's just like, boop, don't want to know more.
You don't know if he's going to be coming back.
And so that's the end of the episode, and it cuts to the Crypt Keeper, and he's still looking at that Play,
he's got his ghoulie bag.
That Play Dead magazine that he has turned to the side, like a pin, like a,
it's got
what's that called, a fold, a centerfold?
It's got, yeah.
Centerfold. And so, yeah, so he kind of rounds out the episode with some more puns. Crypt Keeper, you're so punny. And the best Crypt Keeper pun is...
Which leaves poor little Stacy fresh out of boyfriends. Oh well. I'm sure she'll dig one up somewhere.
Oh my god, so funny, Coco. Crypt Keeper. Good puns. Not as good as some of the other ones. It's okay.
And these are pretty decent.
Yeah, these are fun.
This is probably one of the most solid direct episodes in the franchise yet. It's very straight to the point.
It is straightforward, but it's not super, like, it's one memorable.
Of the most, despite that, it's still, I think, one of the most, like, when you think of a Tales from the Crypt, story, most of the time you think about some sort of revenge from beyond the grave kind of thing. A lot of them have that.
But it's a little too basic for me.
Maybe that's the problem on your side. But to me, it just kind of illustrates, I don't know.
Because it's not really, because I like the twist, and it's not really much of a twist when it's called Thing from the Grave, and you know that he's going to come back.
Well, with a title like that, it could be anything. It could be literally anything.
Maybe it's because I've seen the episode before, but it didn't stand out too much. It was fine, but I mean, yeah. So there's no trivia for this episode on IMDb that I found. That's basically the episode. Stacy's going to go off and find herself a new man, or maybe just not even worry about it at all anymore.
That should be her, like, last...
she's like, I'm going to take a break.
...priority at this point.
I'm going to go get some me time and just go on a vacation. That was season 2, episode 6, The Thing from the Grave. The next episode will be season 2, episode 7, The Sacrifice. Yes. Mike, thank you for being on the episode.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah. And everyone out there, if you want to like, share, rate, review, subscribe, you can send me an email at goodeveningpod@gmail.com. And again, thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.